The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this January 8th, 2026. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Across from me is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on this Thursday afternoon. And, man, we got a lot to get to on the show today. And I feel like we say that a lot because we take pride in what we prepare for you every single day. Now, we don't always get to the things that we prepare because that's how sports work and it's an ever-changing world, but today is loaded. Man, we have transfer portal updates for Auburn football, some of Auburn's opponents for next year as well, also some more college basketball reactions from the SEC last night and just the across the country in general, plus three great guests on the show today. Our two usual guests on Thursdays as we pick back up in the 2026 calendar year, and a special guest in the middle as well. Christian, happy Thursday, sir.
How happy are you? Thursday, man. We're doing well, and yeah, well said on the idea that, yeah, we say that there's a lot to get to or that it's going to be a really fun show, and it is. It's because we genuinely enjoy doing our prep work, doing the best that we can to provide the best show every day. We talked a little bit on the way out yesterday about some conversations that we might have, and just frankly realized that we didn't have time for it today, so it's going to be a really fun time tomorrow on the show as well, where we'll dive into some numbers on how much college football teams are willing to pay per win, essentially, now with the NIL and with all of the salary caps and everything. How much will college football teams be willing to pay per win? If you get to the national championship, sure, but if you get 10 wins, if you get 8 wins, what does that look like? And then we did some numbers to compare for the average human as well. Again, so all of that will be coming up on tomorrow's show, because you mentioned it, three fantastic guests here for you on the show today. We're talking Auburn portal on the football side of things, talking college basketball outside of Auburn over the past couple of days, as you've now had your second game in SEC play. You've had other teams already play multiple three or four conference games. Then last night was, again, another wild night in college basketball. We'll get with Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network, as we do every single Thursday at 2:30, and two special guests coming up in hour number two as well.
Yep, and so if you want to be a part of the show, now is the time to do so by calling 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390 is the phone line number if you want to call in, if you have thoughts on Auburn football in the transfer portal, if you have other thoughts on other teams in the transfer portal. We'd love to hear from you on that, or some Auburn basketball things, college basketball. There is an update on Auburn basketball that we need to mention in the next segment about an injury for the Tigers, so we'll get to that as well. But you can call in 334-321-1390, or you could shoot us a text in the On the Line text box, which is always open at 334-784-1067.
And we begin today's show, talking about Auburn football in the transfer portal, both on the incoming transfers and a little conversation on the outside, outgoing transfers in there as well, and looking at some of the numbers. As of now, 34 outgoing transfers, which we had talked a little bit about, and Auburn right now has 12 incoming transfers. Auburn ranked 11th in the 2026 transfer portal rankings, and so...
Which is fluctuating by the hour, but...
Very much so, yes, and Byron Brown carries a lot of that weight.
Ain't no doubt.
Obviously, yeah. and as it should, but the ability to get so many of these guys from South Florida to where, man, this offense should feel so comfortable in its system, right? I mean, you get a couple of the offensive linemen that you are needing to get, right? Stanton Rammel, the most recent one, the 6'7", 312-pound offensive lineman. There's a lot more that are planning on making visits. There's some offensive linemen and key guys that, as early as this weekend or today, are on campus. And so we'll obviously let you know on any news outside of what we've been given so far. But your early thoughts, Jacob, on just the portal so far as a whole for Auburn.
It's starting to fill out, right? It's starting to fill out in terms of you're picking up a tight end here. You're picking up a receiver there. You've got now two quarterbacks that you've brought in through the portal, both of them being from South Florida. And saw some comments today about Lachlan Hewlett, right? The rookie, the freshman coming in who has years and years of eligibility remaining. It's also people talking about how that might be underrated on how talented he is and how good he could be in several years to come. But I think you're starting to see Auburn go after the necessities here. You went and got your skill guys. You got the South Florida players. I think you'll have one or two more South Florida players join this transfer portal class, but Auburn now turning its focus to those last few key skill guys, and then, of course, the offensive line, which fans are up in arms about and have been. You've started to get in that direction. You've had several of them visit. But, yeah, the Stanton Rommel, the one yesterday for Michigan State, it's a great start.
It's a fantastic start. Again, a three-star, but you're at the point right now for Auburn where you don't look as much at the individual star rankings right now. You don't want to say that it's quantity over quality, but you feel like you need a healthy mix, right? You
sure.
need the guys that are going to come in day one be a major impact of the season. You've seen a couple of those guys. You have a couple guys that are crystal balled to Auburn. Keyshawn Singleton, as of last night, I don't know if you saw that, was crystal balled to Auburn. That is the top receiver from South Florida, 6'3", 215. That would be a incredible pickup for the Auburn Tigers. But you look at it right now, two tight ends, four receivers. You mentioned a couple of running backs, two tight ends in there as well. And so the pieces are beginning to fall. And obviously you expect a little bit more volume on the offensive side than the defensive side just because of the amount of names and the quality of names that announced their return for DJ Durkin and Alex Golish on the defensive side of the football. And thankfully, I mean, again, you still have six more days of the portal being open, and once you hit that point, you know that your roster is not going to be deducted anymore. It would be more so of you going and getting the remainder of the guys that are still in the portal, because a reminder for the fans, it's only a two-week portal period, no spring window, so you might see 8A games and legit practices come back to the spring because you know that your roster can't get poached, or you can't poach a roster, so the pro and con, the give and take on that side of things, but it's a little bit riskier, especially for first-year head coaches because, well, Golish has to figure out everything that he wants for the 2026 season right now. And players have to enter by the 16th, but do not have to... Yeah, 6 days, okay. Mm-hmm. No.
Wait.
Eight days. I was thinking it was the 1st to the 14th. It's the 2nd through the 16th. So 8 more days of the transfer portal being open, but that's when players have to announce their name. They don't have to find a home by that day. You can stretch it out as far as you want. May not be as wise as coaches want to get you in for winter and the spring workouts and everything, but so far through 1 week, you feel like you've done exactly what you've needed to do. If you're Auburn, if you're Alex Golish, now it's time to go and make a little bit of noise with the guys that you still need to get.
And thankfully for Auburn, you're in a position with a new head coach and a new staff and things like that. You're able to avoid a lot of the drama that we're seeing right now in the transfer portal. Yes, there were some big names that hit the portal and are leaving Auburn, and some of those names are starting to commit elsewhere. Malik Blockton was another one today who committed to LSU, which that one hurts to see, right? Some of those big-name defensive players for Auburn that left for whatever reason are not just staying local but staying in the SEC. And Arkansas has got a couple of them, LSU again with Malik Blockton. But Auburn is able to, at least for now, stay out of the negative headlines as we're seeing in Seattle, as we're seeing in Baton Rouge, because there was another situation today at LSU. I don't know if you saw this. Walter Mathis Jr., the monster freshman defensive line lineman, is entering the transfer portal, but they announced his return just a couple of days ago. And so you've got LSU people wondering, is this the same thing? Is this the same situation? It's just going against the Tigers this time? I don't know. We're going to wait and see. But some of those fishy situations are not where you want to be. And yes, Auburn would love to be a competitive program that is dealing with guys entering and leaving and big names going all over the place. But Auburn is a program with a new coach. So is LSU. And so if Auburn can stay out of the dramatics, stay out of the nastiness, stay out of legal battles, that's a win in itself in my book.
Well, it's almost like what you talk about with interviews or with SEC Media Day, right? It used to be going in there and making a little bit of a scene and making your team known, and now it's turning into the, you don't have to go win Media Days,
yeah,
but just do not lose it. So that's kind of where you're at right now, at least from the public image and the social media image of Auburn right now, is go get the guys that you need to get. And while they may not be the 4- and 5-star guys across the board that give you that overall round of applause or the overall national recognition, yeah, you feel like you're avoiding a whole lot of the safety net that that college football is nearing. And it was like what we talked about yesterday with the Damon Williams LSU situation, just how gross everything is going to end up being. You know that it's only going to be so long until every school comes out and has some sort of allegation against another, or has allegations against or from other teams towards itself. And so Auburn doing the best that they can right now, doing their best to get a bunch of the guys from South Florida. Now you're seeing them hand choose a little bit of the guys as well. We also wanted to spend a little bit of time today, not overly specific or diving into the details, but talking about some of the outgoing transfers for Auburn, because they have found new homes as well. And I'm looking at 24/7 Sports, and so just kind of going down that list. But Tay Seymour to North Texas, you feel like is a good spot for him. Jackson Arnold to UNLV, as I'm sure that many
fans have
seen. I think that's going to end up being probably a really good pickup for Dan Mullen, and a team that's bringing back a lot of defensive guys, especially seniors, know a couple of them personally, that feels like their defense is going to be the leader of the pack next year. And so if you can do that with a quarterback like Jackson Arnold, UNLV could make some noise as one of those G5 teams.
They were a 10-win football team this year.
Right. And so now you bring in that athleticism. Dylan Senda to Toledo. You feel like the Auburn Tigers are becoming the Missouri Tigers for a little bit. You have Kensley Ladore Faustin to Missouri. You have Robert Woodyard to Missouri. You have Horatio Fields as of yesterday to Missouri. I believe there's one more. If not, it's just three as of right now.
There's one to Arkansas. One or two to Arkansas, I believe.
Yeah, you have Jamonta Waller to Arkansas.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That is a really good pick.
And then mentioned Malik Blockton earlier to LSU today.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a surprise. Donovan Starr to Clemson.
Really?
Yeah.
I missed that. That's a good pickup.
Kane Lee to Tennessee. I believe this says committed next to their names. I don't feel like I've heard those official announcements like what you were at right now. Ashton Daniels to Florida State.
Yeah,
that's one that we hadn't talked about too much, but that'll be a really good one. Funny enough, that brings up the conversation that we had a couple days ago about Auburn's future opponents, and it was a conversation of DJ Lagway going down to Florida State and getting the Cam Newton recognitions and the Cam Newton comparisons from Gus Malzahn. For those that haven't heard it, Auburn will be playing DJ Lagwe in Atlanta to start the year, as DJ Lagwe has just committed to Baylor. So that's a really good pickup for them as well. You mentioned, yeah, Malik Blockton, LSU, Jay Crawford, Ole Miss, DeAndre Carter back to Iowa State, and Caleb Wheatland, Michigan State, Rayon Strader to Pitt, and Perry Thompson to Minnesota, which we haven't given too much conversation about. But where is he going?
Minnesota!
That was pretty good.
That was pretty solid.
You know what I hear, though, when you rattle off all those names and their destinations, what do they have in common? 95% of them are P4. They're going from one P4 team to the other. Half of them are going to SEC teams or Big Ten teams, which are clearly the two best conferences in college football.
Yeah, going to competitors, not only for Auburn, but competitors for a national championship.
Which tells us what we already knew about last year's team. But there was a lot of stinking talent around here, man.
Yeah.
There was a lot of talent on this team. And I hate to say that it got wasted, because that's very negative. That's kind of rude and it's not fair. But it wasn't used properly. And Auburn did not take advantage. You hate to look at it, and you hated for Hugh Freeze, believe it or not, and the staff that he had, because the recruiting job that they had done was remarkable. They had done such a good job of making up, right, the gap that Brian Harsin left. The end of the Malzahn era, the Brian Harsin era that Hugh Freeze walked into. It was a disaster. And they had done such a good job of bringing Auburn, the roster anyway, back to a competitive spot. How many times last year, Christian, did we say going into a game for Auburn football that talent, we said at the start of the year talent wasn't going to be an issue, but we would say they were talented enough to win this game. They were not out-talented, out-manned like they had been in previous years. Most of the games, I would say, we went into it with some aspect of Auburn has the talents to win this. There is not a talent gap anymore. Auburn is talented enough to win. But it turns out the coaching and the development and the execution was poor at best. And so you really do hate to see that Freeze and his staff couldn't get the most out of the recruits that they brought in here, because these guys are going to play P4 football. And I bet that 75% of them we will hear about consistently all throughout next college football season.
And there's one more that happened about 5 or 10 minutes ago that we haven't seen the official notification from Hayes Fawcett yet, but one that you're going to hear a lot about and have to play against him.
Oh, man. Where's he going?
Amaris Williams to the University of Georgia.
Oh.
You want to talk about a fantastic get for Kirby Smart and Glenn
Schumann. Oh, no. Proud of him. Happy for him. That dude is a beast.
He'll turn into a first or second rounder there.
Wow. I had not seen that.
I didn't either until I clicked on, rather than just the latest Auburn news, I clicked on going from the top, and I was scrolling. And number 4 was Amaris Williams, and it said committed. And I was like, I don't remember seeing that. Yeah, that's...
Jeez. That's great. Yeah, that's a great pickup for them.
That's one of those go be great Kings, and then you turn your back, and it's...
Oh, darn it. Yeah. Man, that's a great pickup for them. Congrats to him. That's huge. Have you seen, on topic but not Auburn on topic, have you seen the latest developments in the DeMond Williams stuff?
Not anything further than what was talked about yesterday.
Oh, buddy, there's stuff to talk about. Let me throw this out there really quick. I know we want to talk basketball when we come back. Did you see that DeMond Williams' agent and agency dumped him today?
I did see that. Okay.
Quote, I have made the decision from DeMond Williams' agent. I have made the decision to end my representation of DeMond Williams Jr. effective immediately due to philosophical differences. DeMond is an incredible talent, and we wish him and his family the best in their future endeavors. That was from his agent and agency. But don't worry, Damon Williams has retained his attorney. He has retained his attorney, the guy that also helped, believe it was a receiver, go from Wisconsin to Miami throughout this whole situation a year ago. It's the same guy. Isn't that crazy? Sounds like that, somebody decided they messed up and they didn't want to be a part of that situation anymore.
Either that or it was the fact that, again, pure speculation, not saying this is what happened, but for all you know, that was DeMond saying, yeah, I don't care, I'm going to do what I need to do, and not letting anybody know about it, and people backing out before everything gets too bloody.
I don't know. Surely you can't. I mean, surely he couldn't just, like, wake up and make a phone call in the middle of the night when nobody know about it with that type of a decision. Surely not. If that's the case, man, that's a big-time screw-up. I don't think it is. I know you're, again, saying it's speculation, but, man, that's big-time stuff. Auburn just picked up a defensive lineman in the transfer portal. As of 4 minutes ago, Auburn has picked up a commit from an Arkansas State defensive lineman.
I do remember hearing about him yesterday.
We'll talk about him when we come back. We're just underway here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
War Eagle, this is Coach Larry Vickers, and you're listening to ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader and home of Auburn women's basketball.
What if you could say goodbye to that 1970s linoleum in your kitchen? What if adding that second bathroom didn't have to stay a someday thing? At Max Credit Union, a home equity line of credit gives you flexible, affordable access to the equity you've already built, so you can turn what if into why not? The Max HELOC makes possibilities feel a little more possible. Call us at 260-2600 to get started. Max Credit Union. Smart money. Made simple.
For qualified borrowers, certain restrictions apply. Equal housing lender. NMLS number 410580.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We continue on here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Final segment before we crank up our guest schedule for today, starting with Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network at 2:30. We'll get his thoughts on Auburn football so far in the transfer portal, the conversation we've started today's show with guys who were coming in, guys who were coming back, guys who were also leaving as well. So we'll get a full breakdown in the opinions of Brad Law. Plus, we'll talk to him about Auburn basketball, which we discussed a little bit yesterday, and we'll get into some more depth there as they welcome in Arkansas this Saturday. But some breaking news for Auburn football in the transfer portal, because that's pretty much how quickly it works nowadays, is another defensive player has been added to the roster, this time an Alabama native. All right, a guy that has truly worked his way up through the college football rankings and will now be playing the highest level of football in his career. He's from New Hope, Alabama. Cody Sigler from Arkansas State has committed to play for the Auburn Tigers. He began at West Alabama. He then had some injuries, went to Arkansas State last year, and now is committed to the Auburn Tigers. A three-star defensive line transfer. Again, put an asterisk next to every ranking at this point in the transfer portal. D-line, 6'3", 300. Pretty good. 6'3", 300. Haven't watched film on this guy yet. I will. But just from a size standpoint, a story standpoint as well, and some of his stats, I mean, he, 2024, had a solid season, 34 tackles, 11 TFLs, 6 sacks in 2024. He spent the 2025 campaign, as I mentioned, at Arkansas State, 35 tackles, 7 TFLs, 5 sacks, and a fumble recovery. So that reads to me, Christian, see ball, get ball, as a defensive lineman, 6'3", 300 pounds, Cody Sigler, the newest addition for Auburn football in the transfer portal.
And again, rather than looking at stars, you feel like the battle names are the ones that you look at a little bit more when you choose him, or you choose Auburn over Oklahoma, Penn State, Florida State, Mississippi State, and a couple others. You know that it's a pretty good get. You know that it was a desirable get if you hear names just like that. And, again, that's what you pay a little bit more attention to than, oh, well, he's only a three-star. He's the New Hope native. And so you feel like, I mean, this is going to be a really big get. And you've now seen the progression from somebody like him, right? So it gives you a little bit of confidence that goes to show you that the work that needs to put in will be putting in. Or will be put in, going from West Alabama to slowly work your way up, then to Arkansas State. You now get that big break, and you're going to play SEC ball following injuries, following from being under-recruited, underutilized in high school. Yeah, you feel like it's a really good get. One of those developmental pieces, maybe, or just could be one of those leaders on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah, and so Auburn adding some more names to the defensive line, trying to fill the interior defensive line, the tackle spot, and kind of that edge position, I guess, more so. The edge is probably going to be okay for Auburn, considering what you're bringing back, but trying to beef up that interior. And again, 6'3", 297 is what he's listed at, so pretty darn close to 300 pounds. And you're right, it's the idea that Auburn is going after guys who had other P4 offers. Same way we were talking about Auburn players leaving to go to other P4 schools, Auburn is bringing in several P4 guys themselves. And excited to see what Cody Sigler brings. Again, the Arkansas State transfer defensive lineman chose Auburn over Alabama, Florida State, Oklahoma, Clemson was on that list as well. So very good pickup for Auburn on the defensive side of the football. And I continue to not be worried about the defensive side of the ball. The idea that you're going to have so many guys returning on that side in the system and things, they can kind of help coach and lead the new guys. That side of the ball is going to be fine, man. I ain't worried about the defense. I'm really not.
How funny is it, too, that last year we sat there, 2 years ago, we said Auburn will not lose because of the defense. Going into last year, we said, okay, that shouldn't be the case, but we're not completely sold in. It took about 3 weeks for us to say, okay, yeah, this defense is going to be absolutely fine. And now you're right back to where you were. Even after the losses, you get some of these big-time additions. This defense is going to be just fine.
We'll talk more Auburn football in the transfer portal right after this, as Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joins us next, plus maybe some Auburn basketball conversation as well.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us and excited to bring this guest back on the show to start 2026. He's our weekly Thursday guest at 2:30. You hear him a part of the amazing Auburn Sports Network coverage that happens throughout all major sports. Brad Law joining us on the phone lines now. What's going on, Brad? You have a good holiday break and trying to get back in the groove of working again?
We did, Jacob, and happy new year, and glad to be back on. It was a good time, and we were excited to get back into it, and did. I mean, two conference basketball games, and we have Tiger Talk tonight, so we're fully back into it.
Brad, I have to give you credit before we get underway in our conversation here. I didn't know that you were a security guard on the side. I didn't know you had that in you. Well, with
fantastic box out skills. Incredible.
For people that didn't see on the courtside cam for the Auburn Sports Network on their YouTube channel, that you can watch Andy and Randall Dickey call the game, when the shot went in the other night, the crowd, the student section went insane, and Brad Law put his body on the line to save the on-air talent from being just crushed by the student section. Yeah. So, Greg, nicely done, Brad.
Well, listen, my dad was like 6'4 and a three-sport all-state kind of guy, and I just never got to be 6'4. So when you're not, when you don't have the size that you need on the basketball floor, you need proper technique. And so if I was ever going to get any kind of rebound, I had to learn proper boxing out technique.
Yeah, no, so no playing above the rim, but doing all the little things that you needed to do.
No, you got to get a good stance, you know, feet set, butt down, all that. You gotta do it the right way. And so that was that was a wild scene the other night. I'm sure we'll talk about that soon. But yeah, that was crazy.
Yes, it was. And yes, we will talk Auburn basketball and specifics coming up in just a little bit. But we do want to start with Auburn football in the transfer portal, which is an ongoing conversation for the last near week or so, and will be going on for another week when the portal closes on January 16th. And an ever-changing world where Auburn picks up a commitment literally 10 minutes ago, a defensive lineman from Arkansas State. So with that added on to what the Tigers have done already, Brad, you're initial thoughts on the additions and subtractions for Auburn football in the transfer portal so far?
The subtractions absolutely to be expected. Generally, when you have coaching changes, any place, you're going to have a high number of people leave that program. When you have successful seasons, like I think I saw that Ole Miss and Georgia had the fewest number of defections in the portal. And look, those two teams were the last two SEC teams to play. Ole Miss still is playing. So to be expected. And you had a lot of guys who were brought in based on potential, and it didn't work. There was a clash. It just didn't produce the result. So the outgoing guys are to be expected. A lot of the incoming guys make sense. I mean, you have the offensive coordinator, the wide receivers coach, the head coach, all coming from one place, and they had a top five offense in college football. It makes sense that a lot of those guys would follow. And then, you know, they added an offensive lineman yesterday, added a defensive lineman minutes ago, as you mentioned, and Cody Sigler from Arkansas State. Both of those guys, both the linemen, Ramil and Sigler, follow a pattern that Coach Golish used at USF. He mentioned it in his opening press conference here at Auburn. Guys that maybe are from the area and want to come back home. And it was absolutely the case for Cody Sigler. In addition to him, oh, by the way, being a really productive defensive lineman. So, yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Would love to split your thoughts onto the offensive and defensive side of the football as well. Obviously, still 8 days to go in the transfer portal opening. After that, you know your roster is not going to get depleted. You could get a couple more additions following that date for the last couple of guys that are waiting it out, trying to find their final schools and where their home is going to be. But defensively, right, with DJ Durkin, you know that the big names are returning to the Plains, and you mentioned a couple of the guys that are either going to be key role pieces are going to be really, really good in between some of those star guys. Your overall thoughts on what the defense looks like right now and has the opportunity to look like in 2026?
Linebacker room will be among the best in college football.
Yeah.
Absolutely stacked linebacker room with depth and talent and across all classes, too, young guys and old guys. So absolutely love the linebacking room. I think the safety room is one of the best in the SEC going into this year, especially with the addition of Fred Gaskins. And then, you know, cornerback, you got a lot of youth there. I think they're still probably looking for a first cornerback, a CB1, as it were. But you've got a lot of young players there that you hope will step up. Defensive line, you still got to add players. You need to add several more edge rushers and probably a couple more interior defensive linemen. Sigler's addition is a big one of those, but you love the foundation they have, and now let's wait and see what else they will add at those critical positions.
And then offensively, a little bit more question marks, but a lot of the guys, as we've mentioned and you mentioned earlier, are going with Alex Golish coming to the Plains, Byron Brown being the biggest name for the Auburn Tigers, at least on the offensive side of the football so far. How much confidence does it bring you, Brad, just because Golish having that system that he loves to run and has had a whole lot of success at many different levels, bringing over a bunch of the guys to where you feel like there's not too much turnover and where all of these guys are going to understand the offense coming up in Jordan-Hare?
Yeah, the big key is going to be the offensive line because, you know, system and scheme and culture do weigh more heavily than most other things in a program. So how we don't know who the starting five O linemen would be if spring practice started today. So you know, you watch and see who they sign on the offensive line. I love the comments that we're getting from these guys when they come home to campus for visits. They talk about how good this staff is and how they know what they're doing and they have a really great plan. And so they're winning guys over. I think the running back room has loads of talent. The quarterback, Byron Brown, let me just kind of go there with most of this.
Okay.
You know, your offense is going to go as your quarterback goes. And 3,000-yard passing season and a 1,000-yard rushing season, I know you guys have made this point, it happens so rarely that it's only against a group of five competition, if that argument held any water whatsoever, you'd have a couple of guys do it every year. And you just don't. Those stats, this offense, they're top 20 in number of plays per game. They're fifth nationally in red zone offense. That, to have as much continuity from that offense, starting with the quarterback to come over, that's not accidental success. That's
right.
A product of a lot of things working together, and now those things are going to be in place here at Auburn.
Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network with us here on ESPN 106.7, our weekly Thursday guest at 2:30. And the next time we talk to you, there will be several more additions through the transfer portal, I'm sure, that we'll be able to get your thoughts on and have a little bit more clarity on a full roster for our new head coach, Alex Golish. But I do want to flip to basketball because there are a lot of things to talk about for Stephen Pearl and the Auburn Tigers. We started our conversation with the game on Tuesday night inside of Neville Arena as Auburn was coming off a SEC loss to Georgia. They were trying to get in the win column. We thought they were going to do it, and then we thought they weren't. Then we thought they did it, and then it turns out they didn't. And that is about as much of a roller coaster of emotions that you're going to get in a second half of college basketball. Yeah. Just your evaluation and kind of your terms of what you saw courtside that night from Auburn's performance and then how the whole thing played out down the stretch.
Yeah, really, really odd. I mean, it was like three or four games in one. And basketball is a game of runs, so you're going to have that. Didn't get off to a great start. Closed the first half very well. I thought they played as well the last 3 minutes of the first half as they played all year. And then looked in total control, up 16 with 13 minutes to go. And then A&M gets the 8-0 run, and then Auburn calls timeout. And I thought the real dagger for the moment was coming out of the timeout. A&M got another steal and another three after the timeout. And that was tough. Auburn still led at that point, but it was a different game. And then to be able to come back and have a shot down eight with exactly 60 seconds to go is remarkable. It shows there's a lot of fight and that there's a lot of togetherness and that there's a lot of preparation and poise with this team to even be in the position for Keyshawn Murphy to get that shot off. Now, with that said, now move like multiple things can be true at once. Now you get down to that last second. You play the game for 40 minutes. Every single tenth of a second counts. And anybody in any office, in any city, in any position who claims that there is indisputable evidence to overturn the call is either mistaken or dishonest.
Or lying.
One
of
the two.
That's it. Yep.
That's not the definition of indisputable is unable to be challenged or denied. It's the opposite. What happened Tuesday is the opposite of indisputable. And so we keep using the words indisputable evidence. That I don't think you guys like people who are using that term, it doesn't mean what you think it means.
It's about as clear, Brad, as a football move before a fumble.
Yeah, right. Right. And, you know, I thought, you know, Texas A&M's coach and his classification of the last play probably didn't come across the way he meant it. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on that because if we're going to start talking about makeup calls involved in Auburn athletic events, football may go undefeated this year. They may start every drive at the 50. It's bizarre, and the way that, you know, some who have the opposite view that Auburn has of that game, the way they're approaching it and talking about it is odd. I mean, it's indisputable evidence is the furthest thing that I would say to classify what happened to them.
Well, as Stephen Pearl said in the postgame press conference, and as it is in all sports at any given time, it is what it is, and you've got to bounce back and find a way to forget about that, have a very short memory, and prepare for a talented Arkansas team that walks inside to Neville Arena late Saturday afternoon. Game starts at 5. Auburn Sports Network coverage begins at 4:30 here locally on Wings 94.3. How does Auburn get out of the rut, Brad? How does Auburn get into the win column in the SEC for the first time this year and pull off an upset on their home floor?
Yeah, got to continue to be better defensively. I thought that for a stretch of about 25 minutes in that game, Auburn's perimeter defense was outstanding. And they forced A&M to try to drive it more and get more at the rim. Now, Arkansas, they're better at that naturally. So you hopefully Filip Jovic is able to play. There's a report that he may be available for Auburn in the game Saturday. I thought being without him for the second half was critical, especially when they were playing good perimeter defense and forcing drives to the basket, and he wasn't there to provide some physicality on the inside. So, yeah, you got to play consistent defense, continue to step forward in that regard, and you got to make threes. Auburn made threes early, got cold from distance in the second half, and that's just going to be a consistent part of this team's offense, is the ability or inability to make long shots. So those are the two keys, I think, one on either side of the ball.
It's Auburn and Arkansas Saturday afternoon into the evening inside of Neville Arena. Again, we'll have the Auburn Sports Network broadcast for you on our sister station, Wings 94.3. But a lot more going on than that, right, Brad? With the new year here, you're back in the swing of things. Tell the people what they need to know for all the coverage over at the Auburn Sports Network.
Well, let's just go tonight. Have you got dinner plans? If you would say no, then I would say you do now. Come out to Baumhauer's Victory Grill. We've got Tiger Talk tonight starting at 6, so try to, and I would get there like between 5:30 and 6 if you want to see the show, and then you can stay and watch the playoff game after that, or during the show and after the show. But here's our lineup tonight. So we have Alex Golish making his Tiger Talk debut right off the bat.
Love it.
Tonight. Then we have Stephen Pearl to talk hoops. Then we have Jeff Graber to talk about gymnastics opening its season tomorrow night against NC State. So loaded show, Wings 94.3. If you can't make it out to the restaurant, join us on the radio tonight for Tiger Talk at 6.
And then basketball again coming up on Saturday afternoon on Wings 94.3. Brad Law, the Auburn Sports Network, with us every Thursday. We appreciate you, again, taking the time. We're excited for another year with you guys and for you being a big part of our show, my friend. So enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to you again next Thursday.
Total pleasure, guys. Thanks very much. War Eagle.
War Eagle. That's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, again, with us every Thursday right here on ESPN 106.7. Speaking of Jeff Graber, he joins us at the top of the hour. We had a chance to catch up with him to preview the season opener for Auburn Gymnastics. We'll have that for you at 3 o'clock. And our buddy Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC is with us again in the year 2026. Get a chance to talk to him about an SEC team, the last SEC team standing in the college football playoff tonight. We'll have him on in the second hour, plus talk and transfer portal, college basketball as well. We'll finish up with college basketball in hour number one when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. We appreciate him taking the time to talk with us every single week, and excited again to have him back on in 2026. Yeah. Talking football, basketball, of course, we'll talk to him about Auburn baseball, which is right around the corner, so looking forward to that as well.
And yeah, I looked at the first Lee Scott baseball games.
I got my hands on Auburn High's schedule this week.
I don't
week,
have the official one.
All right, we get started late February.
Mr. Trey, if you listening,
hit him up.
You up? Yeah.
We got a couple of minutes before we wrap up the first hour of the show, and we're going to have Jeff Graber of Auburn Gymnastics with us talking about the season opener against NC State on Friday. But we got a phone call. Let's get to that now. 334-321-1390. We're throwing you hot on the air. Who are we speaking with?
Oh, man, I wanted my intro, Lonnie, all the way down
in Lochipoca. He's at least an hour out of town down there. What's up, Lonnie? How
are you,
man?
It's sunny over there.
I'm good. Happy New Year, gentlemen.
Yeah.
How y'all doing?
Yeah, good, doing man. Well. Happy New Year to you. I got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes for you, okay?
Well, I wanted to ask a quick question. If Cam Coleman signs with Alabama, is he going to be the most hated former Auburn player since Eric Ramsey?
Ooh. If Cam Coleman signs with Alabama, I will not remember who Aiden Holloway is.
I mean, he just can't. Like,
I don't think it happens.
I do not believe so either. I would imagine one of the oil schools are in the front running for him right now.
Who do y'all think may end up coming back that's in the portal besides possibly Deuce Knight?
Of guys that are in the portal, like who have entered their name and couldn't negotiate something.
Yeah,
with
Sam Turner situation of entering the portal but coming back.
I think Deuce Knight's still on the table, Lonnie. I do. I don't think it's a high percentage chance, but I do think that that is still a possibility. Sam Turner would have been one I thought of, and that already did happen. You're probably limited on who that is at this point since the portal's been open for about a week or so. But, yeah, I don't think Deuce Knight's completely off the table.
Well, I'll say this, and this will be the last thing I say because I know you guys have to go, but I like the way of what Steve Sarkisian said the other day, that if you decide to put your name in the portal, you're not going to be given the opportunity to come back. You're out. You're done.
Yeah, almost the security blanket of, okay, coach, I never wanted to leave. I'll come back.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Anyway, I'll talk to you guys soon. War Eagle.
Appreciate the call, Lonnie. Good to hear from you, my man. Take it easy down there in Lochipoca. I hadn't seen that quote from Sark, but that's very similar to the Dabo Swinney recruiting mindset back in the day, right? Of
if you're committed here,
you don't talk or visit anywhere else. And, I mean, you have to set a standard somehow. You got to draw the line somewhere, right? And when guys enter the portal and then try to come back, it's because they think the grass is greener. They find out that it's not always that way, or they're just trying to renegotiate their NIL deal. So if a place like Texas can draw that line, anybody can draw that line.
Right now, of the 34 outgoing transfers for the Tigers, there are only 16 that have not found a new school. So
yeah. And again, I think with where we are, with a week or so, tomorrow's a week, right? Tomorrow's a week that it's been open, and then we're another week from there. I think that's right.
Yes.
The longer it goes, the less likely it is for a player to return.
You would love a guy like Broderick Shull. If there's one, the offensive tackle.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be...
That's fair.
That would be a solid one. If Deuce is still a legitimate conversation, I wouldn't complain. It'd be very interesting to see what the conversation would be of Xavier Chaplin, because the name obviously draws one thing, but we've had conversations off air of how the offensive line and the offense had absolutely no idea what it was doing. So maybe with an offense that knows what it's doing
and a new O-line
coach. A new offensive line coach, maybe make things a little bit simpler to where you don't have to listen to four different claps every single time.
Yeah, you never know. Hour number one in the book. Stick around. We'll have Jeff Graba, the head coach of Auburn Gymnastics, join us to talk about the season opener tomorrow inside of Neville Arena. And then Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC joins us to get caught up on all the action around the Southeastern Conference. Stick around. Hour number two coming up.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us as we get underway in the second 60 minutes of today's show. And if you missed any of the first hour, you can go back and listen to the podcast version of the show. We just take all of our audio, all the segments, put them together for you, and post that on our station website each and every day at ESPNAU.com in the podcast center. We talked a lot of Auburn football transfer portal updates, including a new commitment today on the defensive line from Arkansas State, so be sure you go back and check that out. Some latest updates on the Demond Williams saga, and then we talked to Brad Law, the Auburn Sports Network, about Auburn football, Auburn basketball, and a whole lot more. So all of that was in the first hour. If you missed it, you could check it out again on our station website at ESPNAU.com. And here in hour number two, two great guests here on the show today. We're going to get our guy Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC, who will be joining us at his normal time at 3:30 this afternoon to talk about the latest transfer portal updates around the Southeastern Conference. Get his thoughts on the Demond Williams stuff, since it somewhat not officially involves LSU. We'll get his thoughts there.
But him being a LSU grad, I mean, he'll have extra knowledge.
Oh, no doubt about it. So talk to him about that. Plus the college football playoff game tonight, which we will talk about before we have him on, and maybe some basketball if there's time. But excited to start the hour today with Auburn University gymnastics head coach Jeff Graba, as the Tigers get their season started tomorrow inside of Neville Arena. They have a top 25 NC State squad coming to town. Gymnastics has quickly become one of the more popular sports on the plains, one of the more attended sports on the plains, and an atmosphere that's unlike any other. So had a chance to catch up with Auburn University head gymnastics coach Jeff Graba, previewing the season opener coming up tomorrow inside of Neville Arena. Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader, as we continue a growing trend here on ESPN, talking with head coaches from Auburn University Athletics. And today it's a repeat guest, a guy we talked to just a couple of weeks ago, head coach of Auburn at University Gymnastics, Jeff Graba, joining us on the phone lines. Coach, it's great to talk to you again, and I hope you had a happy new year.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. And yeah, I had it's fast this time of year, but it definitely was good to get a small little break and have a Christmas and a New Year's with my family and then get back to work.
Well, I can't imagine how fast the time goes between the preview meet that's mid-December to right now, where the home opener, the season opener, coming up this Friday inside of Neville Arena, plus the holidays and everything going on. I mean, that has to be a blur for you and your staff, huh?
Yeah, it's the toughest time of year for us because, you know, you have finals right before the preview meet. We had finals week, so yeah, we really didn't have any organized training there. And then we had the preview meet, then they went home after that for the break, and then they come back on the 26th. Our first practice was on the 27th, and we actually practiced on New Year's Day, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. You have to go fast when you get back, but they need the break, but it also puts you behind a little bit.
Well, we talked a couple of weeks ago before that preview meet, something that has become special to you and your program here at Auburn. That was back on Monday, December 15th. And we talked about the benefits of that, right? Getting the girls in the arena, getting them on the equipment, having a crowd there to kind of get them in a meet mode, if you will. And so what did you see from that? Maybe the good, some of the bad, some of the things you're looking for in the home opener, the season opener this Friday. What did you see in the preview meet a few weeks ago for your team?
Honestly, you know, no bad, because we didn't have anybody get injured. So that's a good thing.
That's good.
Always the number one thing. That's the number one bad. All the other bad stuff isn't really bad. You know, we saw some stuff that in the arena under pressure, under the lights, maybe didn't work out as well. So it definitely gave us an opportunity to change some routines on some people, some technical issues, and some routine construction issues. So it was very good at providing us some real-time feedback. But for the most part, everything went really smooth. Most of the people did what we asked them to do and did it at a decent level. So we came away very, very confident. We did make some adjustments, but we were very happy with how it went.
And you got a chance to see your team in action, as you mentioned, under the lights, on the equipment, kind of in a real-time setting. But all of that is gone now, because you get started with the season opener this Friday. That's January 9th inside of Neville Arena as NC State comes to town, who is a top 25 program. So not an easy home opener there for you, Coach, to get things started in 2026.
No, it's a trap. You didn't have to remind me. I mean, you know, it looks scheduling. I'm pretty sure we'll have the toughest schedule in the country when all is said and done again this year. We typically do, because our philosophy has been to test ourselves. You know, the wins and the losses, just to go back and try to go over it again. Wins and losses aren't really the issue in our sport until mm-hmm. you get to the postseason. So it's really about what you score. So to me, I want to see how our team performs under immense pressure early so that we can build resiliency and really make good decisions with who's in what positions early in January. And the only way to do that is you got to get under pressure. So you do want to bring quality teams here, and quality teams want to come here because they want to do the same thing. So, you know, our goals are big, and if we want big goals, we've got to test ourselves at the highest level. So, yeah, it's a little bit, you cannot hide from our schedule, but we asked for it and we're ready. We just need to go out there and perform at a high level, which we can do, and try not to get too caught up in a wins and losses type conversation, more about a performance conversation.
Well, it's so unique, too, because you're right. You and I talked about this a little bit a couple of weeks ago, but you're competing against another team. But as you mentioned, it's your score that matters, your individual score and then your team score. But you've got to feed off of some of the momentum, right? If they have a good performance on bars, you want to have a good performance when you get there, or when you're on beam and they're on floor, whatever the case may be. You're feeding off of the opponent you're going up against. But at the end of the day, you're just competing with yourself. I mean, that's what makes the sport so unique, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you got to practice winning. I mean, you want to win because you got to get good at it. I try to tell everybody, and it's very helpful for if you're a golfer, you can understand what I'm getting at. You could make the Masters as a golfer and never win a tournament, but you perform at a high level against high level competition. You might not have won all the way to it, but you qualify for the Masters, and then in the Masters, when you're in that event, those whatever it is 4 days, if you make it all the way through, then it's about winning. It's, you know, you want to win that thing. So that's similar to gymnastics. So you if you are testing yourself against the best and you're winning, then you're really building some confidence and you're making really good decisions. If you're testing yourself against the best and you're scoring really well but you might not be winning, well, that's not necessarily a bad thing. That other team might be peaking too early. We might be peaking too late. We might peak too early. So all of this stuff is our gamesmanship. It is definitely a unique sport, for sure.
I love that comparison of a golfer to just individualized. It's still a team, and you got to play at your best to compete at your best at any given time. We're talking with Auburn head coach Jeff Grabe of Auburn Gymnastics here on ESPN 106.7. And it's the season opener, but it's the home opener, right? You get back inside of Neville Arena before you hit the road to open SEC play on the road at Arkansas. You'll be back at home on Friday, January 23rd, when Florida comes to town. What about Neville Arena? What about that atmosphere, the Friday nights? It's another sold-out season, a fifth straight season that Auburn Gymnastics has sold-out season tickets there at Neville Arena. What is it about the atmosphere and the fans on Friday nights that make it so special for you?
Well, it's just the way this town, this community embraces us. You know, it's the reason these athletes choose to come here. They want to be in front of this. No other team in the country is going to announce their 26 straight sellouts. I mean, we've had 26 straight sellouts by the end of this year. And it's funny that I get to announce it before the season starts. That's how crazy this whole thing is. It's so much fun to be a part of. And Neville Arena is you know, it's not just full. It's electric. It's the best atmosphere in, I believe, in college athletics. I definitely can say it's the best atmosphere in college gymnastics. It's the best for us, and it's also the best for the opposing team. It's not easy, but it's a really good atmosphere to get through. So we love it. We added a sixth home meet this year because, for one thing, we want to benefit more from our home crowd. But, you know, another thing with all this NIL and stuff like that is, you know, it's another opportunity for us to generate revenue in this town for our program and for the community at the same time as get in front of our fans one more time. So all these young people signed up for this. This is what they wanted. When they show up on campus being recruited, they look in those stands and they're like, every one of these seats is sold. I want to be here.
Yeah, was it the Michigan State meet that got added, Coach, on Friday, March 6th over spring break? Is that the next or the new home meet that you guys added to the schedule?
Technically, yes. We switched some things around. So NC State and Michigan State got added similar, and we were debating if we were going to go on the road to one of them or bring them both here. So those are the two. You know, the SEC matchups are set for us. But yeah, the Michigan State one at the end, that was, I think they're number three or something like that in the country. They're, you know, to get them to come here, that's a big deal. But, you know, NC State, we were going to go up against them either here or there or at a neutral site anyway. So we just decided, let's just do it here. This is what they wanted. They wanted to compete here. So hopefully they get a good atmosphere and we have a great meet and we can send them home with a loss.
Yeah, a non-conference meet right there in the middle in the heart of SEC play. That'll be right before you guys head to Huntsville for the Elevate the Stage event, which I know has grown and really become a special thing. And then the season finale on Friday, March 13th. Jeff Graba, head coach of Auburn Gymnastics, with us on the phone lines right now. And talking about the atmosphere one more time before we get into your team for a moment. Do you hear from opposing coaches and gymnasts who come to Neville Arena with the atmosphere that you've described and has put on display every Friday, every season for basically your entire career here? Do you hear that from coaches and other gymnasts who come here and compete against you guys in that building?
Yeah, we've had gymnasts request from gymnasts from other teams request that the gymnasties make fun of them and stuff like that. You know, do their floor routine stuff. It's funny to see that that's become a thing, that people want to be here because of the gymnasties. But, you know, some of it is also imitation is the best form of flattery. And basically what we do, a lot of people are starting to do now.
Sure.
So it's good because it's actually showing the community as a whole, gymnastics as a whole, is really embracing this Neville Arena atmosphere, and they're seeing that they want to duplicate that in their areas. But yeah, I've always heard from people who got frustrated, but the first thing they do is they're frustrated because it was a very difficult place to compete, and they go home and try to create the same thing. So that to me is that's a badge of honor. That means we're doing something right.
Yeah, that's something you should be proud of for sure, the atmosphere that you have built over your time here on the Plains. And so, again, Auburn Gymnastics getting started this Friday, January 9th, inside of Neville Arena against 23rd-ranked NC State before heading on the road to begin SEC play next week. And want to allow you to remind people kind of how your roster is built this year, Coach, because it is stacked, but in kind of a different way. One senior, good group of juniors, and a lot of young talent that you're looking forward to for years to come. Kind of tell the people how your roster is built so far this year for Auburn Gymnastics.
Yeah, actually, it's a little bit awkward to talk about because this doesn't happen very often, but I'm actually coaching this team. Theoretically, I can coach this team for 2 years. Hmm. You know, just losing one person, which hasn't happened. This happened a few years back, right before our Final Four run, but it was in the middle of COVID. So this was not a competitive environment. We were barely practicing at that point.
Right.
But it's really fun to see. Look, they're young. We have a young team. We've got a lot of juniors who have a lot of experience, but you know, half of our routines are going to come from freshmen and sophomores, and that's a good thing. But it's going to be, January is going to be a month of learning, and we're getting better right now. So our goal is to start out strong, but to continue to improve, because the development, if we can continue to develop during the season like we have in the preseason, by the time we get to late February and March, this is going to be a juggernaut. We're going to be really, really good. And it's just really exciting and fun to coach this group.
Auburn Gymnastics gets started this Friday inside of Neville Arena. Season runs through about mid-March, and then postseason play will hit for the Tigers across the country. But again, this Friday, January 9th, inside of Neville Arena, NC State comes to town. Then on the road on next Sunday, so a decent break there, against Arkansas and Fayetteville. Return home on Friday, January 23rd, against the Florida Gators inside of Neville Arena. Head coach Jeff Graba of Auburn Gymnastics with us on ESPN 106.7. Coach, we really appreciate the time. Always enjoy talking to you about your program and what you're building and continuing to build on here on the Plains. And good luck to you and your squad this season.
Well, thanks for having me on, and War Eagle.
War Eagle. So that is Auburn University head gymnastics coach Jeff Graba. Again, had a chance to catch up with him this week and talk about their season opener coming up on Friday. That's tomorrow inside of Neville Arena. Another sold-out season for Auburn Gymnastics. Man, they've done an incredible job. Has Jeff Graba and his entire staff and his teams getting that atmosphere to be electric and exciting there inside of Neville Arena. And we mentioned this yesterday and want to announce it, that he is going to join us on the airwaves every week of a home meets. So that'll be six times, including this one, that Jeff Graba will be joining us on the phone lines to talk about Auburn Gymnastics, a young team but a talented team. So excited to have that relationship and have him on several times throughout the gymnastics season. We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk some college basketball, or actually college football playoff is what we need to talk about, with game one coming up tonight before we have Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC join us. That's coming up next on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We continue on here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7 as college football playoffs are tonight. That's right, a game tonight and a game tomorrow in the semifinals of the college football playoffs. We'll talk more in detail.
Thanks, NFL.
Yeah, for real. About this, especially the SEC angle, with Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC coming up in our next segment. But, yeah, game tonight, game tomorrow. Is there one you're looking forward to more than the other? Christian, Ole Miss, Miami tonight, Indiana, Oregon tomorrow. One that you are looking forward to more than the other?
I mean, when you're looking just from the standpoint of what you know is going to be an incredible game because of the high-powered offenses, but the great defenses, Indiana-Oregon brings a little bit more of the, I guess, the common spectator perspective, just because, again, it being a rematch, it being a really good game, the one seed versus the five seed, rather than the two underdog picks of Miami and Ole Miss. That being said, I mean, Carson Beck has played two really, really good games in a row. Trinidad Chambliss played another fantastic game against Georgia, and how interesting is it that, I mean, Ole Miss is having a lot of success without Lane Kiffin, and can Mario Cristobal get over the hump? Can Carson Beck play good again tonight without turning the ball over like he did at certain times throughout the season and throughout his career? You kind of feel like that game is upcoming at some point. Just depends on whether that's this game, possibly next game, or if that's his first game in the NFL next year. You know it's coming eventually. And so if you're a Miami fan, or you're just a big Miami fan tonight with your wallet or interest or whatever the case may be, you hope that there's another big point where he doesn't turn the ball over. Ole Miss's secondary, what are they going to look like? How is Miami's pass rush and rush defense, their front four, should be able to dominate the line of scrimmage? And so that makes everything that much more entertaining because is Trinidad going to be able to run? Is he going to have to get the ball out of his hands? Is he going to have his time to sit in the pocket and allow his receivers to get open? And then what is that Miami secondary going to look like? You feel like there's more question marks in the game tonight rather than the Indiana-Oregon game is going to legitimately come down to execution.
Yeah, I think so. A couple of big injuries in the Oregon-Indiana game for the Ducks. Their second best running back, their touchdown leader, is out for the year, the freshman. So that's a big one. Believe they may have a guy or two questionable on the defensive side of the football as well. But I totally agree. I think the game tomorrow is, and funny enough, it's talking about Indiana here, it's the two heavyweights going tomorrow night. Tonight is not even the prelims, but this is like, this one feels like the fight before the main event. You're watching pay-per-view, there's five or six events. This one feels like it's definitely worthy of the main card, but you know it's not the fight. But how many times, for UFC or boxing fans out there, how many times does the second or third fight before the main event end up being better than any of them, right? Yeah. I mean, how many times do you look back and it's like, all right, the main event was good, but man, that fight leading up, that third one or that second one before, right before, man, that fight was really, really good. So there's a chance that that could happen tonight. And I think what makes the Indiana-Oregon game tomorrow so intriguing is how similar those two teams are. You've got great quarterback play. You have a room loaded of running backs, two offensive lines that are playing their best football all season long, defensive fronts that are just flat nasty, and secondaries that have guys who are going to be playing on Sundays, and two great head coaches, right? Those two teams are so identical, it's fascinating to see. Tonight, you've got a high-powered offense and an okay defense versus a stout defense versus
a streaky offense in Miami.
An up-and-down streaky offense with the Canes. So that gives a whole lot of room for, man, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
tonight.
So many question marks from the standpoint, yeah, exactly of what you're talking about. It's an Ole Miss defense that isn't great in the secondary versus a Miami offense that can be great or is not great. And then it's Miami's defense being absolutely insane and Ole Miss's offense being absolutely amazing. And so one of the things has to give. It's great on great versus streaky on streaky. And so many question marks on both of these games, but even more so on the one tonight. Again, a 7:30 Eastern time game in the Glendale, Arizona, the VRBO Fiesta Bowl. So should be a whole lot of fun. Trinidad Chambliss trying to get another year of eligibility. If not, this is it for him in the college football, which again is a conversation for another time. The fact that he's agreed to a new deal if he can get another year of college football eligibility. But Kawan Lacy's already signed another deal, so he'll be back with Ole Miss next year. I mean, it's two really good teams, two teams that don't think of themselves as the underdog, which is what you need to have, and it's the reason that they're one of the four teams still playing college football, right? I mean, the mentality of we are not underdogs, we have just as much right to go play in the college football. I mean, we're talking about a team that beat Ohio State, and we're talking about a team that beat Georgia. Two of probably the more popular picks to win the whole thing.
You've earned it. You've earned to be here. Most people didn't have it picked, but you're exactly right. That's a great way to put it. They earned their way to the college football playoff semifinals. We'll talk to a guy who covers the SEC every single day, and we'll see if he picks Ole Miss to win tonight. Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC joins us after this, and his thoughts on Demond Williams and other transfer portal news. He joins us on the phone lines right after this.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being along for the ride. And, man, we have so much to talk about around the Southeastern Conference with football, transfer portal, basketball, all the things. And we bring in our guy Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, our longtime Thursday 3:30 guest here during On the Line. Man, it's great to talk to you. We appreciate you taking the time and being a part of our show once again, and hope everything's good in your world.
Yeah, same to you guys. Happy New Year. Welcome to 2026, where NIL deals don't matter and lawlessness breaks loose.
I mean, isn't it fun? Isn't this what we all wanted for college athletics? With just not even the wild, wild west doesn't even describe it, because they at least had morals back then, I think, Chris.
Well, I think we're starting to find these pieces of paper that these players are putting their names on. It's great that players are getting paid. It's great that they're getting a lot of money. But I think we're finding those pieces of paper don't mean much. When you're not an employee, how do you hold somebody to a legal document saying they're going to do this thing when you can't say that they're an employee or services rendered? It's a mess.
Yeah, well, clearly we're talking the DeMond Williams situation at Washington. And what's sad about it is this is not the only one. This is just the big name and the couple of big programs that have come to light and that people have taken and ran with. And so your breakdown of this, Chris, the best that you can, because it seems like there's an SEC team and an SEC head coach that are at the heart of this whole situation down in Baton Rouge. And so what have you taken from this, especially with the latest updates we have from today?
Well, I will say Miami has had a hand in this as well, a team that's going to be playing in the playoff later tonight, so don't discount them. They've also had a hand in saying, hey, DeMond Williams, who would be interested? I think the biggest thing here is, and we're seeing it from all the Ole Miss players right now, like, I don't understand for any reason why all these Ole Miss people are being rushed into hurriedly signing deals for 2026. Like, you guys have a playoff game still to play tonight. Like, take your time. This portal's still open for two more weeks. There is no reason to rush into, oh my God, I better sign and get re-up for next year. And I think that's kind of what DeMond Williams, what happened with him was, Washington put an extension in front of him, and I think he was kind of pushed into it very quickly and then realized, you know what, I maybe should have tested the market. There's a lot of teams that need good quarterbacks out there. I consider myself a good quarterback. And so, you know, it goes back to what's the gist of NIL. And, yes, he signed a deal that, you know, reportedly is worth somewhere in the $4 million category with Washington, and turns out there's some other schools willing to go higher, namely LSU and Miami. And it sounds like they're willing to go anywhere from $5 to $6 million. And so isn't that the gist of NIL, that name, image, and likeness, whatever the market dictates, you should be allowed to render your services to that person? And so, yeah, I mean, this gets real sticky where it's like, well, we have your signature. You signed a contract. And I've had several people say, why is this different from last year, right? Because we had the kid at Wisconsin and went to Miami. He's going to be on the field for Miami tonight, one of their starting corners. And there is still legal stuff out there, lawsuits of Wisconsin trying to sue him for leaving. Well, what's different this year is those deals were done under the guise of, you know, collectives and name, image, likeness, and all that. These new deals being signed, and it depends on how they're allocating the money to you, but revenue share with the school, these are different deals, because if it's money coming directly from the school, guess what? Those schools have legal teams and everything else involved here. So I've been told, you know, this is a little bit different. This is a little bit different territory. And so on the flip side, I'd be careful if I'm Washington. Do you want to send the precedent that you start suing people for, you know, like, how many future recruits are you going to attract if you're showing, well, we'll sue kids if they try to leave us. So it's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out. I think at the end of the day, LSU is in a dire need for a quarterback. They have no scholarship quarterbacks on their roster right now. It's funny because, you know, they hosted Sam Levitt, who's considered the top quarterback in the portal. He goes and visits Tennessee, and he extends his visit today for another day at Tennessee. But at the end of the day, if Tennessee doesn't get Sam Levitt, they still got George McIntyre, who they recruited last year, and Faison Brandon, who was one of the top quarterbacks in this class. So, like, they've got two young guys they could go to. LSU doesn't have anybody. So it's just going to be fascinating because we're seeing all these quarterbacks fly off the board. DJ Lagway goes to Baylor today. I mean, of the top 20 to 30 quarterbacks, a lot of them are coming off the board very quickly. And so I almost look at it as LSU has to get Damon Williams. They have to find a way to get him.
And Chris, how long do you think it is until college works its way? I think we've had this conversation before, but into the two-year deal, three-year options, just so that way this type of situation can be cleared up, because we've had plenty of conversations, especially this week on the show, of this might be the one situation to where people can take a step back from college football, realize how bad everything is, and then realize, okay, maybe there should be steps in taking in limitations or getting these guys nailed down to where this doesn't happen with free agency every single year.
Well, I think two-year deals would be great, right? I mean, we have the rule already in college football that if you're, you know, if you come out of high school and you go to college, you have to play at least, you know, you have to be 3 years removed from college,
right,
or from high school, right, to go pro. So I don't have any problem with them saying if you go to a school as a true freshman that you have to stay at that school at least 2 years. And I'm pushing for that because look at how many true freshmen last year. Like, I'll take Texas as an example. Texas signed a bunch of five-star wide receivers in last year's recruiting class. One of them was a kid from Jacksonville named Jamie French. Jamie French barely got on the field for Texas this year because they had a lot of veteran wide receivers ahead of him. Well, Jamie French just went in the portal today.
Yeah.
And Texas fans are all going, what in the hell? Like, we paid big money for that kid to get him. He barely played at all last year, and now he's gone. All the time and effort and resources we put into not only just recruiting him, but then also getting him an NIL deal. And then he just leaves? It's just weird. I mean, Tarius Kern, five-star offensive lineman at LSU last year, you know, played sparingly, wasn't great. They were starting to develop him, and then he goes to Ole Miss. To me, I feel like if you're a true freshman, I just feel like a two-year commitment in these NIL deals, that would be a start to maybe cleaning some of this stuff up. Because let's be real, like, nobody blames the fifth-year senior that wants to go play his senior year quarterbacking somewhere else. So, you know, Byron Brown put in all his time at USF. He's now going to Auburn. That's great. That's a great story. He's a veteran. He's seasoned. But these kids who barely played a down and were freshmen, I don't know if that's good for your development. It's definitely not good for the school they're leaving. So, I don't know. It's just an idea, but I think a minimum two-year commitment for true freshmen would be a good start for this thing.
Well, good news is their classes transfer, their credits transfer, they're worried about their degree, they're making sure they graduate on time when they enter the transfer portal, and, you know, remember that they're student-athletes today, Chris.
20 years ago, I transferred from the University of New Orleans to LSU, and half those credits didn't transfer, so I can't imagine what these kids' credit. I mean, like, dude, like, I had to take summer classes twice just to catch up. So I can't imagine what a guy like TJ Finley, what kind of degree he's getting.
It's so funny you bring that up, Chris. I was about to say that's the reason we brought you on today, was to talk about TJ Finley. Any insight? Is he going back to LSU? Is he coming to be Auburn's backup? Do we have the true insight on Mr. Finley?
I have not heard anything on him, but I will say he is he is one of the few guests we've had on Locked On SEC, both as an LSU quarterback and an Auburn quarterback, and it would be a lot of fun to have him back on as a different SEC quarterback, a third different team. That would certainly set a record.
As an Indeed free agent.
Literally.
LinkedIn, brother.
LinkedIn for TJ Finley. We got Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC with us on the phone lines here on ESPN 106.7. And we'll be able to talk to you about that situation for weeks to come, Chris, with the more developments that come from that. But zooming out and looking at the Southeastern Conference in the transfer portal, clearly we can't discuss all of the names because we don't have time for that. But a couple of highlights for you on some names that stick out. You've mentioned some along the way already, but teams that have made big impacts and big swings in the transfer portal, in your opinion, in the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah, I mean, well, the biggest one, we're going to wait to see where Cam Coleman goes. I was told a couple of days ago they don't think he gets out of the state of Texas, that they thought Texas Tech was going to put everything they had into trying to keep him there with Brendan Sorsby. I know Texas really wants him bad. I know A&M is trying to get him to replace Casey Concepcion. But then I heard Alabama may end up getting a visit from him after all. And so, again, you really want to dig the nail in deep, have Cam Coleman go to Alabama and play against Auburn. That would really stink. But we'll see what happens with him. But just in terms of, like, the big names, I mean, obviously, like I said today, DJ Lagway picking Baylor is an interesting one. So he leaves the SEC. But I'm excited about – look, I joked about it, the USF pipeline over to Auburn. I am excited to see Byron Brown. He's been one of my favorite quarterbacks to watch the last few years. I think I've mentioned it before. My niece is a cheerleader there at USF, so we've watched just about every USF game in our household. So, how does it work, right? I mean, like, he beats Florida last year in a one-off. Okay, you could beat an SEC team on a one-off, sure. And then, of course, we know they played Alabama close two straight years. But, you know, what does this look like with a nine-game SEC schedule? How does the USF talent translate to the SEC? So that, to me, is fascinating. And then all the other ones. I like Austin Simmons going to Mizzou. I think that's a great pickup for Missouri. I think his upside, his ceiling is way higher than what Bo Perbula was. So that'll be really interesting. I like Hollywood Smothers, the NC State running back, going to Alabama. I think he's better than Jam Miller and a lot of the different pieces they had there. So, and then the Kentucky thing. I mean, Kentucky's whole team is going to look completely different. When you talk about going to get Kenny Minchie, the quarterback from Notre Dame, they got the top center in the portal from Baylor and Colton Price. It's just all these teams, like I always say, like, make sure you buy a program when you go to an SEC game next year, because these teams are going to look completely different in 2026.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And we're not even a week in to the transfer portal. Tomorrow is the 1 week mark, and with a whole nother week to go after that point. Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC with us here on the phone lines. And again, as much as we would love to continue talking the transfer portal, we have football to talk about with a game coming up tonight, the first semifinal game of the college football playoff, with the last SEC team standing, the one that everybody predicted is the Ole Miss Rebels without Lane Kiffin. They take on Miami tonight in the Fiesta Bowl. Miami favored right around a field goal. It's been pretty steady at that mark, Chris. Your thoughts on Ole Miss and Miami, winner to the national championship game?
Yeah, I was at the Sugar Bowl last week, and I knew it was going to be a heavy Ole Miss contingent, but I didn't think it was going to be like that. I mean, it was 65-35, maybe even 70-30 in terms of Ole Miss fans in the Superdome. I mean, they were loud. They were chanting, Pete, Pete, Pete. And there was just so much emotion. Look, they won the Tulane home game, and that's fine. I mean, but look, you and I could have coached Ole Miss that night and still beat Tulane. I mean, Tulane had no chance to win. The talent discrepancy was there. But to put all the emotion and everything they had into the win over Ole Miss in the Sugar Bowl, or went over Georgia, it was huge. It was monstrous. And what's funny is, for the past 6 days, guys, all we've heard about on social media and out there is all about 2026. Ole Miss is going out and trying to re-sign every player they can for 2026. Roster retention has been key. They've been working hard in the transfer portal. And, my argument is, the last few days, you know what I haven't heard anything about? How are you going to beat Miami? I mean, it's almost like we achieved the mountaintop, and this is as good as it gets, and, this is it for Ole Miss. And it's like, guys, you got another game to play.
Yeah.
And so I just worry that, like, the clock's going to strike midnight on Cinderella tonight, and suddenly we see the offense goes three and out. Suddenly Keywon Lacy can't – those running lanes aren't open against Miami. Trinidad Chambliss, suddenly those wide-open receivers against Georgia, they're covered, and – maybe he makes a mistake or two and throws a pick. I just feel like all the momentum is going Miami's way tonight. Their defense has been lights out. What they did against A&M, what they did against Ohio State. Do you guys realize the last two games they've racked up 12 sacks in the wins over A&M and Ohio State? Trinidad Chambliss has been sacked once in his last three games. I think we're going to know very early tonight who sets the tone. If it's the Miami defense or the Ole Miss offense, and unfortunately, I think it's going to be the Miami defense.
It's Ole Miss and Miami tonight in the first semifinal game of the college football playoff. We will not have that here on ESPN. We will have tomorrow night's game between Oregon and Indiana. We'll have Auburn women's basketball coverage for you this evening on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. And Chris, we just ran out of time, man. We just don't have time to talk college basketball today. I guess we'll just have to wait until next week.
Well, the one good thing I'll give you is I think LSU stinks, but Kentucky, Texas, and Ole Miss are all 0-2, 2 in the conference. So, look, those are you know, Auburn, Kentucky, and Ole Miss were all tournament teams a year ago. So, I mean, you know, you're in good company. I wouldn't be hitting the panic button just yet, but don't let this turn into a three-game, four-game losing streak. Then you're really in trouble.
Yeah, no doubt. Auburn's 0-2, Vandy's 2-0. What's going on in SEC college basketball? Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC, the daily podcast, talking all things Southeastern Conference. I know you're a busy, busy man right now. Tell the people how they can find you and everything you got going on with the podcast.
Yeah, it's like you said, Locked On SEC, wherever you get your podcasts. We had some great interviews all last week in New Orleans. We caught up with Tim Tebow and just getting a general thought on all things SEC. And we're tracking the portal each day, 24 hours recap every day on Locked On SEC recap in the portal. So make sure you check it out.
If Ole Miss makes it to the Natty, are you going to go to Miami?
We've gone back and forth on it. I just don't – like, I think the Miami contingent is going to be so big there. I mean, even – the demand for credentials, but the price of tickets. I don't know if you saw Ross Dellinger tweeted out today. I mean, it's like nearly $3,000 just to get in the door right now. So it's going to be a little ridiculous if Miami's playing in their backyard. But if it's Ole Miss, I got to think tickets are going to drop significantly. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see and check it out. Chris, we appreciate the time, brother. Appreciate you always being a part of our show, and we'll do it again this time next Thursday.
All right, fellas. Thanks.
Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC. Check it out on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast. We'll come back and we'll make our picks for the college football playoff game tonight and wrap up the Thursday edition of On the Line right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Been an awesome show today, man. We have had so much content to fill in the last 2 hours, and it has flown by. And so if you've missed any of the show today, you can always go back and listen to the podcast version of today's show or any of our shows at ESPNAU.com. That's our station website. Click on the podcast center at the top, and you'll see all of our shows there from previous days. We've talked Auburn football in the transfer portal. We've talked some college basketball a little bit, not as much as we were thinking, but some of that in there. And then three incredible guests back to back to back. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, Jeff Graba, the head coach of Auburn University Gymnastics, and then just got off the phone with Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast. So if you missed any of that, be sure again to go check it out at ESPNAU.com. Coming up on tomorrow's show, it's Free For All Friday, and it will be just that. We have a ton already on the docket and on the rundown for tomorrow. We'll react to tonight's college football playoff game. We'll preview the other college football playoff game. Also talk about all the SEC basketball games coming up over the weekend. And then diving deep into the new era in the dark, dark world of NIL, transfer portal, and the future of college football and athletics. And so it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be a really, really fun show. Again, I spent a decent amount of time looking up. I mean,
I woke up and looked at that this morning. I was like, what the heck did you do?
Yeah, it's a page and a half worth of notes and names.
Couldn't sleep last night, huh?
How – no, not at all. I completed all my Lee Scott prep last night. It was pretty awesome.
Must be nice.
On how broken the NIL era is, with college quarterbacks scheduled to make upwards of $6 million in one college football season, that's essentially $400,000 per game that you are paying a college quarterback. You're paying them $100,000 a quarter.
We're in the wrong business, man. I still have eligibility. I've never played college football. I would like to go get my master's degree.
$100,000 a quarter. And there were legitimately quarters this year and last year where a team ran three plays and went three and out.
It's like we do that math, and you always see the math of golfers, like Scotty, how much money Scotty Scheffler made round, per hole, per stroke, right? It's the same idea.
Yeah. How much money does Luka make per dribble every single night? And it's just an absolutely stupid number. But we will dive into the MLB world, the NFL world, and the NBA world to talk about professional athletes that you draft on your fantasy teams every single year that don't make what a college quarterback will make to play 17 regular season games or 162 games or 82 games, but college quarterbacks making more than some of these crazy, crazy names. We'll also dive into how much colleges are willing to pay per win, what that looks like, the risk, what the number basically comes out to be if you win a national championship and go 15-0, and then we'll look at that from the average U.S. median salary and what you would essentially have to give up if you were that program.
Ole Miss or Miami, quickly.
Oh, man, lower scoring game. I trust the defense a little bit more in this game, and I like what Miami did against Ohio State controlling the clock. It feels gross to say, but I'll take Miami in a close one.
Yeah, I'll take the Canes, too. If Ole Miss wins it, more power to them. And we'll talk about that tomorrow and a whole lot more. 2-4 right here on ESPN 106.7. Auburn women's basketball tonight here on the network as well, so be sure you stay tuned for that after the drive. We're back tomorrow. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.